Okay, Morai Rabotai, we are learning Yeridaya Simin Reish. Simin Reish discusses the bracha that is recited on Tevila. The Gemara in Pesachim and Avzayin Amid Beis teaches us a Yisod. Now, all mitzvahs we make a bracha on them over Lasi Yasan. The one exception to that is Birchas HaTevila, Dakati Gavra Lochazi, because you're not yet Shayech, you're not yet Ro'oi, so therefore you do not make the bracha on Birchas HaTevila. What does that mean? Rashi writes in Pesachim and Avzayin Amid Beis, what that means is that a Baal Keri should not recite brachos. And Agav, a Baal Keri who does not recite brachos, so therefore any tevila, you should recite the bracha after the tevila. That's Shitas Rashi in brachos. You also get an impression from Rashi that Lecha'ora, what he's saying is that there's a special takana to recite the bracha after the tevila by all tevilos. It's a special din. Meaning to say that Lecha'ora, what Rashi means is that this isn't just a din, that whenever, for whatever technical reason, I can't make a bracha before I do a mitzvah, I should make the bracha after. Rashi's saying, no, it's a special takana le'inyin birchas hatevila, that's it. But, for example, in Aruch Chaim Simen Ches, there's a case of a person who could not make the bracha when he put on the talis katan. No, it was too early in the morning, not yet Misha Yakir, or something like that. So according to Rashi, you would not be able to make the bracha after. It's a special takana only le'inyin tevila. We're not saying that whenever you can't make a bracha beforehand, you make it after. Zakt Rashi only by tevila. I think that's the pshat that you get in Rashi. I was talking about this with Shmuel Kresh today. This is actually his chiddush, but I think that's the pshat in Rashi. Tosfos jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, as the expression goes. Then Taisa says, what are you talking about? Rashi, you're telling me that a Baal Keri cannot recite brachas? That ain't true. Asking Baal Keris can recite brachas, no? Divrei Torah, halo ko devarai ka eish nu'um Hashem, ma eish enum mekabel tuma, af divrei Torah enum mekabel tuma. Right? Divrei Torah is not mekabel tuma at all, so therefore Baal Keri is allowed to study Torah. So what on earth is Rashi talking about? Unclear. It's unclear, Tosfos asks on Rashi. Presumably what Rashi may have meant is something along these lines. Also, this is what Shmuel Kresh was suggesting, that if you assume that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah instituted brachos, right, it's around the same time as Ezra, no? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah are the people who were Ola Mibavel, no? Mordechai, who is part of our contemporary awareness now. Mordechai is one of the Ola Mibavel. Ezra is one of the Ola Mibavel. They are the ones who instituted brachos. Ezra also instituted tevila. Later on, they were mevatel the tevila. But since at the time of the original takana, of Takanas Ezra, of the Tevilah, they said a Baal Keri is not ro'oi to make brachos, so that remains in place. And that could be the pshat in Rashi, where Rashi says a Baal Keri does not recite the bracha, that Baal Keri cannot recite a bracha before the Tevilah, and therefore the Baal Keri recites it after the Tevilah, and Agav Baal Keri, anyone who's Toivel, does not recite the bracha until after Tevilah. That is Shitas Rashi in Psachim 7b. Yeah. Because they instituted it in that often. A Baal Keri should not recite any bracha, but the Birchas HaTevilah is... No, this Baal Keri would talk and not make brachos. But Birchas HaTevilah is something, what are you going to do? Right, because a Baal Keri goes to the mikvah while you're still a Baal Keri. Narvas, they said, oh, for right, the other brachas on an apple, don't eat the apple. Or, right, what are we going to do? You'll eat, right? Nothing to do. But the tevilah, you'll make the bracha right after. Now, Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that when we say Akati Gavel Ochozi, we're not talking about a Baal Keri, we're talking about our convert, no? A ger. A ger taka can't make a bracha. Asher kachum, it's nice of it's ivanu. Asher kachum means like Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us kedusha. The ger a hot nish kedusha. No, there is a goy, right? So you can only make the bracha noch the geris. So that's akati gavra lochazi. And according to the Rabbeinu Chanano, though, this din is true only by Tevilas Hager. Any other Tevila, you recite the bracha before you go into the mikvah. Tevilas Hager is taka gavra lo chazi. But any other Tevila, you recite beforehand. That's the Rabbeinu Chanano, the Rif holds that way, the Rambam holds that way, and Maran HaMechaber holds that way as well, no? The Mechaber tells me that you recite the bracha for the Tevila, Kisha Peshetes Malbusheha, Kisha Emedes Bachaluka, you make the bracha, we'll talk about why that is, and then afterwards, Tif Shait Chaluka V'titbol, then you take off your bathrobe and your toivel. Right? Meaning you make the bracha before you jump in. Because, right, the bracha is made before over Asiyas, like all mitzvahs. There is, by the way, a collector's item of a shita that goes to Shri Sof Parakama de Brachos, quotes in the Ur Zaruah, that when the Gemara says that Birchas HaTevila is done la'achar asiyason, what the Gemara really means to say is that all Birchas HaMitzvah you can make after you do the mitzvah. That's what the Hagoy Sashri quotes from the Ur Zaruah, no? And the Ramah Paskins this way, in Yeridei Simin Yotes, if I have an animal that's a Suffolk Trefa, Zuck the Ramah, what I should do is Shech the animal, Bli Bracha, because I can't make a Bracha on the Shkita, because maybe it's going to be a Trefa. So Shech the animal, Bli Bracha. If it turns out that the animal is Taka Kosher, so then what I do is I make the Bracha after. Why do I do it like this? Because the Ur Zaruah holds that, again, I don't know how he would read the Gemara Vakati Gavra Lo Chazi, but what the Ur Zaruah is really saying is that Birchas Hanehenin have to be Oiver L'Asiyasan. I can't make a Bori Priya Eitz after I ate the apple. And the way the Ur Zaruah says that, by the way, is I can't make a Bori Priya Eitz after I ate the apple, because after I ate the apple, I have to make a Bori Nefashos. I have to make a Noch Bracha. But Birchas HaMitzvah, I can make La'achar Asiyasan, no? The Rambam holds that you can only make Birchas HaMitzvah, even Birchas HaMitzvah have to be done over L'Asiyason. And the Rav pointed out, it's found in the Rav Shi'urim on Yeridaya, on this Ur Zaruah, the Rav pointed out this is because of the famous Kishem. The Rambam has a Nusach, like just like you make a Bracha Birchas HaNehenin, you also make a Birchas HaMitzvah, no? Kishem Shemavarchim al HaHana'os, Zok the Rambam Kach Mavarchim al HaMitzvos. What that means is that the bracha has to be done beforehand over L'Asiyason, both Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaNehen, and even L'Ikuva. The Rambam says if you do the mitzvah, you can't make the bracha after you do the mitzvah. So there are three shitas in Rishonim as to how we understand that Gemara in Pesachim of Akati Gavra Lo Chazi, that Birchas HaTevila is done after, right? Rashi says all Birchas HaTevila is done after, just like Tevila of a Balkeri. Tisus quotes in the Rabbeinu Chananel, only the Tevila of a Ger is done after. Any other Tevila is done beforehand, and that is what the Mechaber says. And we have this razzle dazzle Ur Zaruah, who says that Birchas HaMitzvah you can make after you did the mitzvah, just Birchas HaNehenin have to be done before. Now, in the Tosfos in Pesachim, Tosfos in Pesachim quotes, after he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, he quotes that the Ri noted that the minhag of Noshim was that they would always make the Birchas HaTevila after the Tevila. And the Ri is melamed zechus on that minhag, no? It's like a light plug. Since the ger makes the bracha after the ger went to the mikvah, so the practice developed that all women make the bracha after they dunked, right? And everyone who goes to the mikvah makes the bracha after they dunk. Do the ger, and Tosfos says this even by Nitmas Yadayim, no? It's like a low plug of sorts. Now, by Nitmas Yadayim, the low plug is much more reasonable. In the sense that by Nitmas Yadayim, the low plug is that maybe my hands are mamish dirty and I can't make a bracha beforehand, so I have to make the bracha after. By Tevila, the low plug, what do you mean I'm not a ger? I wasn't goyish yesterday, or today. I'm not a ger. Like, the low plug is a much less reasonable low plug, but nonetheless Tosfos says that there is such a low plug that was put in, but you get an impression from Tosfos in Tosis in Pesachim and Avzayin Amid Beis, that Tosis is not really fond of this practice. The practice of making the bracha after you went to the mikvah, Tosis defends the practice, but it doesn't sound like Tosis is endorsing the practice, no? And Biglal Zeh, Maran HaBet Yosef, in his work called the Bet Yosef, asks a question on the Torah. He says, Torah, you say that women should make the bracha after they went to the mikvah? But Tosis doesn't say that. Tosis defends the practice. But l'cha'ora, it would be more proper to make the bracha before you went to the mikvah. So, it's a kasha. Beis Yosef really bleibt schwer. Elijah Kramer of Vilna, in his Bir Hagra, Eis Dalet, he points out that if you read the very end of the Tosis, one Tosis is being about Netilas Yadayim, and Netilas Yadayim, we make the bracha after we did the Netila, no? So once we're talking about Netilas Yadayim, you make the bracha after, so you get the impression from the end of the Tosis that L'chatchila, it's better to make the bracha after Asiyah. Now, Netilas Yadayim, we also have another variable, which is that it still is over lasiyosin because drying of the hands is part of the mitzvah, no? That's what Taisa says. But nonetheless, the Gra notes at the end of the Tosis sounds that even l'chatzfila you should make birchas hatzvila after the tevila. That's what the Gra quotes. For some reason, the Gra does not quote that Tosis in brachos on nun aleph sounds like l'chatzfila you should make the bracha of tevila after the tevila. Right? In other words, the Beis Yosef has a kasha that the Ri and Taisvis in Pesachim doesn't sound like he's endorsing the practice, and the Chanami, but Tosis in Brachos on Nun Aleph sounds like he endorses the practice. Now, this is actually somewhat important because the Ramah paskins Yesh Omim Shalot Tavarich Ad Achar HaTavila. No? The Ramah paskins that you don't make the bracha until after you go to the mikvah. V'chein Lehagen. The minig is a achar tevila, when she's still in the mayim, she covers herself. We'll talk about the covering in a few minutes. And then she recites the bracha, ad kan divrei haramah. Basically, he's following Tosis in brachas nun aleph. That's what we're suggesting, even though the Goyin says he's quoting the end of the Taisvis in Pesachim, but it could be he's following Taisvis in brachas nun aleph. Okay, so far so good. Now, is that what we do? Do we make the bracha after we tevilled? Mechaber says you make the bracha before. Moses says you make the bracha after. What do we do?
We do both.
We do both. Right? We do what the Heiliger Seinfeld called a double dip. No? Now, if you don't know who Seinfeld is, you are just missing out on so much. It's unbelievable. But the fact is that we do a double dip. Now, the double dip is very problematic. Basically, the pashtus is that we are trying to be yotzei, both the Mechaber and the Ramah. So we go into the mikvah, and we come up, and we make a bracha, then we go a second time. So according to the Ramah, it's la'achar asiyosin, it's after the first tevila. According to the Mechaber, it's over asiyosin, it's before the second tevila. Great idea, right? But frek the dogo meravava, that doesn't make any sense. Because once you went to the mikvah, you are tahira. And you can make a bracha after your tahora, no? So the dogo meravava, as the expression goes, jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, this doesn't make sense. So the dogo meravava says, oh, maybe I have a yeshiv for the practice. Maybe the yeshiv for the practice is when you go to the mikvah the first time, you have in mind that you are not becoming tahira. Ooh, loved this already. Right? So then the Dogma Ravava says, I don't like that so much. Because we learned the last din in Kuf Tzadiches is that Anida Shetovla Beloi Kavana becomes Tahura, no? She's walking on the bridge. Gust of wind comes. She falls into the water. And amazingly, she's not wearing anything. And amazingly, she did a chafifa beforehand. And amazingly, whatever. Right? Yeah, she's tahara. No? Neither should tabla b'loi kavana is going to be tahara. And if you can be tahara without kavana anyway, so then what does the kavana not to be tova help. It's logar from lo kavana. So it could be that having negative kavana is, as we would say in Yiddish, gar erger. It's much worse than having no kavana, right? And that is a suggestion that the Dagomer Vava says, but he doesn't really like it. Rather, the Dagomer Vava is convinced that the pshat over here is that the Ramos l'shitaso, or I don't know if it's the Ramos l'shitaso, I should say, but this minhag of the double dip, the minhag of the Shlach HaKadosh, is based on a Ramot at the end of Kuf Tzadik Ches. Because although the Mechaber, it's Machlokes in Chulin Lamed Aleph between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, that Nida Shetavla below Kavana, whether it works or not. So though the Mechaber paskins it works, Yesh Machmirin, the Ramot says, quoting a Rashba, that Matzrichin also Tevila Acheres, that you have to be Tevil a second time. So along the lines of that Ramot, that's why we do this based on the first time it's ke'ilu, you don't have kavana. Now, we're not really doing it that the first time you don't have kavana, are we? Because really what we're trying to do is we're trying to be zayir frum. And we want to be yotze both the Mechaber and the Ramah. So really what we're trying to do, and you have to ask your wives, is this what they have in mind when they go to the mikvah? My guess is that most women are probably just thinking about, I want to do it properly. Or some women are very frum and they daven, no? When in the mikvah. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But most people probably do not have this fancy razzle-dazzle kavana that goes like this. If the Ramah is right, I should make the bracha achar tevila, so I want the first tevila to be my real tevila, and then I'll make the bracha after. If the Mechaber is right, I should make the bracha over lasiyah, so I want the first tevila not to count, then the second tevila is the real tevila. No? Right? So they probably are having this razzle dat, or they might not be having this kavana. You look in the Badei HaShulchan on page Kuf Lamed, he points out that even if this is what they should be having, come on, you think women really have this razzle dazzle double type of, it's almost like an afikoimin according to the Avni Nezer. You know, like, you're having like one of these complicated types of double kavanas, a base kinesis according to anybody, whatever. Like one of these double types that's nice, it's not so likely this is what people have in mind. But okay, Ken Zine, that's really what the practice is based on. Now, within this practice of the double dip and the Dagomer Ravava's question that you're Tahira after the first one. So Chacham Ovad Yosef in the Taharas Habayis page Tavkuf Yud Beis, he suggests that maybe the Pshat is a little different. There's a famous Kesef Mishnah, Perkvav of Mikvos, who says that when you go to the mikvah, you don't become Torah until you leave the mikvah. Right? At what point do you become Tahar? Right? Do you become Tahar when you're still in the mikvah? After you dunk, do you come Tahura when you leave the mikvah? So one could read a Kesef Mishnah, you don't become Tahura until you actually leave. So Eibazoi, it's really not a problem to do the double dip, because it is, right, really over Lasi Yasan and La'achar Asi Yasan, both. You're Tahura. No, I'm not. I'm not Tahura until I mamish leave the mikvah. Now, Chacham Ovadia really does not like this in a big way. He thinks that if you read the Kesef Mishnah there, the Kesef Mishnah does not mean that you're Tahura when you walk out of the mikvah. Rather, you become Tahura when one Aver is out of the water. Then you become Tahura. But nonetheless, it's a suggestion that Chacham Ovadia has, which is worth focusing on. The Dagomer Vava, yeah.
If we assume a parallel between Tara and Geras, then your Ravadi seems to make sense, right? Because otherwise the Kedusha Asisrael wouldn't be halfway up the mikvah either.
Well, that's a question. It's like, am I Jewish when I'm in the mikvah? Once I dunked one time, I'm probably Jewish, even before I walk out, no?
Exactly.
What?
Exactly. And that's why you say the
Brahma. Oh, you're saying that even the Kesef Mishnah is only saying it for Tum and Tahara, which is true. Not for Tevila of Tosefes Kedusha.
I didn't see the Kesef Mishnah, but if you assume that if Tovatara and Geras work the same way,
right,
then it wouldn't make any sense for the Kesef Mishnah to say that you're not Tara for your whole body.
Probably not. I mean, but the whole Kesef Mishnah is very difficult anyway. But Enochanam, yes, fine point. Now, The Don Gomer Baba continues, and he says, one second, we have a Maseches Derech Eretz, who writes that HaToivo Pa'amayim Harize Meguna. Maseches Derech Eretz is not a fan of Seinfeld. He said that double dipping is Meguna, it's a bad thing. So, how come the Shlach HaKadosh instituted the double dip? L'chor it's wrong. And the Rambam passes like that, Maseches Derech Eretz, in Perek Aleph of Mikvos Halachates. So if you read the Dogo Mervava, he has some suggestions about the Pshat. But look in the Tshuva of the Meshev Dovar, the Netziv, in Chelek Beis, Simen Lamed Zayin. The Netziv, first of all, Tainas, somebody wanted to argue that we should instruct women not to do the double dip of the shlah, because hareza maguna, it's bad. Zakhtin had said, first of all, you shouldn't instruct people. And then it says, had bekiyas. He says, there's a lush in the Gemara in Brachas, that hareza maguna aval lo mishaskin also. No? There are certain things that if I do when I daven for the amud, we tell you, shut up, get down from the amud. You don't deserve to be up there anymore. No? You say, shma, shma, Mishaskin also. Modin, modin, mishaskin also. The other things after you do, hareza maguna. No? I forgot which ones. Other things that, what? Can't see per, that's also hareza maguna. That's hareza maguna? That's what the Mishnah says? Okay. What? So, that's mishaskin or hareza? That's mishaskin. Yeah, which are the things that are hareza maguna? The Gemara at one point over there in those figures of Brecha says that maguna hu deheva avashasuke lemishaskinam lai. So the Netziv Tainas that you see from there, that you shouldn't tell people not to do the double dip. And by the way, the Dogo Merivava himself, although he's not a big fan of the Shlach HaKadosh, at the end he writes in Nusach, but since the Shlach HaKadosh was a holy Jew, ho of a yata adon pi ha-goin, yesh lochash ledvarav. Right? So that's similar to what the Netziv is saying. In other words, lo mishaskin or so. But then he tainas that, first of all, many Rishonim understand that the problem with HaToivo Pa'amayim HaReza Meguna is if you have a mikvah mitzumtzum of Abraham Sa'ah. If I have a mikvah that's exactly 40 Sa'ah, so I go in one time, right, and then I'm going to come out, so some of the water will leave mikvah. Then the next time you go in, so the mikvah will be chaser. It won't be a good mikvah. So that's why it's a problem. Now, according to that, obviously, that would not be relevant for our discussion if you type twice, because our mikvahs have far more than our Abraham on that. But Zuck the Netziv, one second, Josh, Zuck the Netziv, you see from that din that the only time there's a problem of HaTovo Pa'amayim is if I'm Toivel and I come up and I leave. But if I'm in the body of water and I never walk out of the body of water, so then it's not going to be Meguna. In other words, basically what we're trying to do is answer all the Dogo Marvavas Tainas. The first Taina, that you became Tahira, so we have to answer that you have Kavana. The second Taina, that Hareza Meguna, that to be Tova Pamayim, so the answer is that no, we assume it's not really Meguna, because, like the Netziv says, it's only Meguna if you go in and mamish come out of the mikvah completely. But Kol Zman that you remain inside the mikvah, that is not Meguna. Josh?
What's the Meguna going into, once you're already
going into the mikvah? What's Meguna about it is that people will learn from you that you can be Taivo in an area that has less than 40 Sa'ah. It's really bad to do that, because that's like a type of lifnei iver or something.
I mean, if you're going to dunk in 40 some and leave water on you, then people are going to dunk in that mikvah, and then that's also not going to
stop. Right. People will learn from you,
but
that...
I'm saying it's wrong, one dip.
Well, no, one dip is okay. You're allowed to be toivel on the mikvah that has Abraham Sam
and
some
Samim. And people will know that once you've left, that they're not going to dunk.
Yeah. Lam donem. Now... many people have a practice that not only do they not toivel one time, like the Mechamer Ramo says, not only do they not toivel twice, like the Shlach HaKadosh says, but they toivel three times. This is based on the Sefer Chassidim Shin Tzadi Dalet, excuse me. Sefer Chassidim learns, V'zarakti aleichem mayim tohoirim utahartem mikol tumu. Tohirim utahartem mikol tumosechem kugulaychem atahereschem dry molim pasuk states aloshen tahara. About them, mir toivot dry mol. Hey, you toivot three times, That's what the Sefer Hasidim says. Okay, some people have this practice. There's a whole discussion in the Achronim, you cook in the Badei HaShochan, the Shevet HaLevi. Let's say someone used to be Tayvel three times and now they want to be Tayvel only twice or one time. Do you need Hataras Nedarim or not? That's already advanced Talmud. But the fact is, some people have this practice. Other people have a practice that they're Tayvel Nit Dreimol Uber Zibinmol seven times. Some people are Tayvel eight times. Some people are Tayvel nine times. I have no idea what the Makar for those Minhagim are. No idea where they came from, but people have these practices. Don't know where it came from. Fine. The idea of...
OCD, probably.
What?
Probably came from OCD.
Could be.
I think in the Arizal's myth, where they tell you to do nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
I told you about a cousin of mine who, before he got married, decided to be Tayvel like 613 times or something. Yeah, right, exactly. It's a little bit unusual. Now, some add, by the way, that the idea of Tevila, there are different types of Tevila. There's Tevila to remove Tumah and Tahara, to remove Tumah. But there's also Tevila like Tumas Hager, which, like Tevilas Hager, which is Lahosif Tahara, no? So it could be that the idea of additional tevilos is, again, this is a Hasidish of art, like they say from Arlo of Karlin, that mikveh is not a mitzvah, but it's the greatest mitzvah. No one knows what that means until Purim. But the fact is, the fact is that there is an inyan of tevilah for Tosefes Kedusha. And these additional tevilos are probably there to accomplish some sort of Tosefes Kedusha. The discussion in the Paiskim about, according to the Minhag of the Shlah, when you are Tevel, when you're Tevel twice, is the first Tevilah Iker, is the second Tevilah Iker, and Afgamin, if there's like some question, the Tevilah, Ayin Padeh HaShulchan, on page Kuf Lamed, he discusses that it's not really so kedai to go into. There is a discussion in the Chassam Sefer that maybe the first time a Kala goes to the mikvah, she should recite a Shehechiyanu. It's a practice, I think most poskim assume that practice is not preferred. There is a tshuva in Yechav Adas about that. If you're interested, there's a practice of Kalas that they recite Shehechiyanu the first time they light Neiros Shabbos. This is all based on the Ramah in Yerudei HaChav Ches, about that the first time you do a mitzvah in life, you recite a Shehechiyanu, no? It's based on the Gemara in Brachos and Menachos, at the Kayan, when he was Makriv the Karbanos for the first time, would make a Shehechiyanu. That's a Lashon Tosefta that's quoted in Brachos somewhere in the beginning of Ketzem Avarchem. Now, if the first time I do a mitzvah, I recite a Bracha of Shehechiyanu, that's what the Ramah paskins. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah. Shach says that you don't make a Shehechiyanu the first time you do a mitzvah. Did I ever tell you the story one time in camp? We decided to eat meat during the 9 days. So we sent Yosef Levin Brown to go and buy a goat, which he shechted. And we were going to eat meat, and he did a shechita with like avuka kenegda at Belayla, his mamash and gavad, like a thing. We did a shechita at night. Beautiful. We also shechted chickens. It turned out our bad luck, Abir Wahafdig, Olav HaShalom, who was the director of Camp Morasha, found out that we had shechted some animals in the camp kitchen. And for some reason, he thought this was not sanitary. So Abir Wahafdig comes down in his bathrobe at like 2 o'clock in the morning to scream at the whole kollel about what we did. So, you know, what do you do? Chashavir shows up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so we have bird blood there. So we mechabed him with Kisui Hadam, because it's an important mitzvah. Right? Rabbi Wahafdig, do you want the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? And who's going to say no to Kisui Hadam? It's such a gefaltige mitzvah. So then I remember Yaakov Verblowski sitting there, he's like, oh my gosh, but I don't remember to be passing the Ramah, the Shach, where should he make a Shachiyanu? Because he never did Kisui Hadam before. So Yaakov is like popling back and forth, and he make a Shachiyanu. I'm like, wait, we're having it. And he thinks we are absolutely stark, raising mad, which we were. But we had fun. Moresha Kolel was inexperienced. I tried to explain to my wife at one point, like, what Moresha Kolel was. Like, some people just don't understand that. But
well, why was that they meet?
What?
Why was that they meet during that?
Why?
What was the heter?
To eat meat? Oh, we also made a siyam.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We had one guy sitting in the corner learning some mishnayos. We had this... We had this whole system. Well, but the bigger part also was that we weren't mochik by breakfast. That was like a big problem. Okay, you know, like sometimes you don't plan appropriately. The good old days. Now.
You did bedika for the goat also?
What?
You did
bedika
for the goat also?
Yeah, no, Crazy Joe knew how to be both the trade. Yosef Levenbaum. Knew how to. Yeah, he was a sheikhet. They used to have a shechita class here in yeshiva to teach guys shechita. I think Rabbi Rapp has his shechita diploma hanging on the wall. It's his diploma for chickens. Very exciting. Okay. So this whole discussion, the Chassam Sofer, about whether you make a bracha the first time you go to the mikvah is based on this idea of the Ramah that you make a bracha of Shehachiyanu, whether you make a Shehachiyanu the first time you go to mikvah, based on this Ramah that you make a Shehachiyanu the first time you do any mitzvah, huge literature in the poskim, etc. The minig of the Sheikhtim, by the way, was against the Shach. The minig in Europe was that Sheikhtim used to learn the Simla Chadasha, right? That's what they had to know about Peh, with the Perish of the Tavu Ashar on the side. So the Tavu Ashar paskins that that you should follow the Ramah, not the Shach. Okay, we found that out after. Now, the Rav in his Shi'urim on Yerideya wanted to say that maybe the Pshat in the Ramah about making the Bracha La'achar Asiyason by Birchas HaTevila is based on the fact that sometimes the Bracha is on the Maisa and sometimes the Bracha is on the Chalos. The Rav wanted to say that maybe the Bracha, Birchas HaTevila, is a bracha that you're reciting on the chalos of tahara, rather than a bracha on the ma'isa hamitzvah of the tevila. And I think it's fairly pashut that that's why the bracha would be recited achar asiyason, just like the bracha of lahachniso b'vriso shel Avraham Avinu. There's a discussion about whether you make it before the meal or la'achar ha'meal, and the Ravon explained the opinion of the Rashbam and the Tosas at the end of Reblazer de Mila, that you make the bracha afterwards. Is it because it's a bracha on the chalos? So there's two inyonim within the bris mila, right? There's the ma'isa ha'meal, and then there's the chalos shem mahol. So also this bracha is a bracha on the chalos, and that's why it's done afterwards. Im kenim hadavarim, that the bracha is a bracha on the chalos, so then maybe you can explain the practice of many people. If you're in the Badei HaShulchan in Sifkatin Hey, he discusses what do you do about a bracha in cases of a suffik. We have many dinim that we encountered already this year where the tumah is only tummy mikayach suffik. For example, Trumas Hadeshen din. No, Trumas Hadeshen says if I have a hargasha alone and I don't see anything, I'm tmeya. Right, and most understood that the Trumas Hadeshen is saying it mikayach safek. Let's say the Trumas Hadeshen case is invoked. Do you have to make a bracha on that tevila, or you don't make a bracha on that tevila? Dam chimur is only a safek. We're not sure that you got dam. We're not sure that because tovuha linose, because I asked her to marry me, we're not sure she's going to get so excited that she'll have a re'ias. It's a safek, right? Do you make a bracha on these sfekas or not? And the pashta should be that you should not make a bracha, because safek d'rabbanan lahakel, safek brachos lahakel, don't make a bracha. Nonetheless, many poskim say that you do make a bracha. Perhaps the hesber for the poskim will say that you do make a bracha is if the bracha is a bracha on the chalos, so then I understand why I would make the bracha la'achar asiyason, and then I'd understand why in any situation, even if the tumah is only tumah mikayach safek, I should still make a bracha, because the bracha is on the chalos hatzah Tahara that sets in after. Yeah.
According to that one, does you keep saying brachos over and over again?
No, I mean once the chalos tahara sets in, they don't make another bracha.
But there's a suffix there whether he has tahara.
In which case? No. In other words, if I had a suffix whether I'm tamei, because it's dam chim or it's a trumas hadashin then. So now I go to the mikvah. Even if I was tamei a misuffix, now I'm tahara. Right? I treated myself as Tmei Amikayach Safek. Now that I go to the mikvah, now there's a chalos tahara. There's a chalos that removed whatever tumah I had beforehand.
I mean, there may be, but there may not be also. You may have been told the whole time.
But since I was treating myself, I was acting as if I'm Tameya, so now there's a chalos of Tahara that didn't happen before. And chalos is a result. Right? So the result of the previous suffix was that I was Tameya. Now I become Tahora. Again, it's a bit of lumdis that I think is possible. You don't like it.
Same problem.
Same problem. Mr. Strauss was like, okay, so I'm 0 for 2 so far, yeah. Does anyone want to defend me?
If she treats herself as being Tameya, then isn't it like Chabi Chabika the Yisura, so wouldn't be a suffix Tuma anymore?
Well, I don't know, because she's only saying that she's Tameya because she thinks she's Tameya. I don't know if that doesn't make a Shavya Nasha Chaticha Disura. Because Shavya Nasha Chaticha Disura, if I say I'm Tameya for sure, right? But if I'm only saying it because I think that.
Well, in that situation, if she's going to treat herself Tameya Misafik, why don't she just say, treat herself as Tameya?
Right, that would solve the problem. Then for sure you would make the bracha. Right, then for sure you make a bracha. Enochanami. Okay. Now, the Ramon Yerideya, when he passed and said you can make a bracha la'ach asa yosun, right, by the suffix trefa that we mentioned, that or is a ruah case, so the Ramon says but you should not be mafsik between the shchita and the bracha afterwards, just like there should be no hefsik when it's over la'asa yosun between the bracha and the mitzvah, there should also be no hefsik la'ach asa yosun between the mitzvah and the bracha. Okay, that's what Ramon says. Based on this, Rabbi Chaim Cohen has in the Miluim, in the back of the Badei HaShulchan, that the minhag of many women who recite a Yehi Ratzon in the mikvah is actually done improperly. Because many women, like Davin, they say Tchinis, etc., when they're being Toivon, so they're not doing it right, because what they do is they make a bracha, and then they say the Tchinis, and then they dunk in the second time. That's not proper. Or excuse me, what they do, I'm sorry, what they do is they Toivon, then they make the bracha. How they do it? They toivel, then they say a tchina, then they make the bracha, then they toivel. But if the bracha is la'achar se'yasin from tevila number one, so they just mafsik by saying the tchina in between. Right? In other words, the process that many people do is that they toivel once, tchina, bracha, toivel a second time. They don't want to say the tchina after the bracha because they say, oh, that's going to be a hefsek. But by saying the tchina between tevila 1 and 2, that's also a hefsek between the bracha and tevila 1, and maybe you hold like the Raman, the bracha is supposed to be going on tevila 1. Now, this practice of saying the tchina when you're in the mikvah is problematic for other reasons as well. Our mikvahs, as we know, are heated. A heated mikvah might have a din of a beis hamerchatz, and it's also to recite brachos in the beis hamerchatz. The literature about this is found in the Pisrei Tshuva by us, Sif Katin Gimel. No? Pisrei Tshuva quotes a Tazen Arachayim Simen Pei Dalet, that even though our mikvahs are heated and they have it in the beis hamerchatz, but the birchas hatavila you're allowed to recite there because you don't have a choice really. Sfaradim make the bracha afterwards. But a Sfaradi woman will be wearing her bathrobe, right, we'll make the bracha outside, take off the bathrobe, and then go in. Now, I'm not exactly sure whether that's proper. The Gemara in Menachos says that the bracha on tefillin should be done bein hanocha l'kshira. I should not make the bracha on tefillin before I put it on my arm, because that would be oiver de oiver. I should make the bracha bein hanocha l'kshira. So, I'm not 100% sure where you draw the line, what's called oiver to oiver. The Sephardi practice is that they're wearing their bathrobe in their room, not in the tevila room, right? Outside the tevila room, they're wearing their bathrobe. They make the bracha wearing the bathrobe, take off the bathrobe, go into the tevila room, then they jump in. Does that become oiver to oiver? I'm not sure. By the way, you can't also do it in the anteroom, in the non-tevila room, if that non-tevila room is a bathroom. Right, so it's not so simple, even for a Sephardi, what to do. But this question of the mikvah being hat, and how do you make a bracha, is raised by the Taz. And the Taz answers, you know what, the bracha for tevila we allow you to do. But it's only the bracha for tevila, because Ashkenazim don't have a choice, because you make it after the tevila. So you make it when you're in the mikvah. But a Yehi Ratzon, any other tchina, you should not say then. And in fact, Rav Wozner recommends in the Shiurim Sheva Talevi that you should say the tchina when you leave the mikvah. Right? The davening doesn't have to be in the mikvah. The mikvah is not the kaisal. It's not such a makum kedusha that you have to daven dafka there. You, when you're in the mikvah, you dunk, make a bracha, dunk a second time, leave, get dressed, and then you say the tchina. And that's something that we'll talk about in a few moments, exactly why that is. Yeah?
In terms of the over-and-over issue for Sephardi women, is, let's say, for instance, by filling in another context, is that an issue of time or activity? Because for enough is part of the process here,
right,
that's the closest they can.
Even if it's an issue of activities, I think in this case you're doing more than one activity, because you're taking off your robe and you're walking into the other room.
It's not, you know, with
film
is a necessary part of the process inherently.
Right. I mean, again, I'm not really sure the rules of over to over. I'm sure there's a huge literature about this, and the Chas Tefillin, don't know. We have to do research. Now, the more complicated issue that comes up in Simon Reish is the question of reciting brachos in states of undress. This discussion is found here in Yerideya Simen Reish, and it's found in Or Chaim Simen Ayin Dalet. The Mechaber says that you should make the bracha when you're wearing your bathrobe, and if you don't make the bracha when you're wearing your bathrobe, you should dirty up the water. Their mikvahs had like dust at the bottom, so like you kick it around, so then the water becomes dirty. And the Ramah says that after the tevila, when she's in the water, they should like throw her dress. She should be mechasas atzmo bevigda o bechaluka, and then she makes the bracha. But both the Mechaber and the Ramah are saying that you should not make brachos undressed. Correct? Now, what are the issues in making brachos undressed? So there are three different halachic issues. There's a din called Giloy Erva. There's a din called Einav Ra'is Esa Erva. V'lo yira'e b'cha ervas davar. So if the erva is megula, I don't make a bracha. If I'm looking at an erva, even if it's someone else's erva, I don't make the bracha. Then there's a third din called libo ro'e esa erva. If there's no hefsek between my heart and the erva, right, since we have a pasuk, v'libi ra'a harbe amal, right, Kohala says, so there's also a din of re'ia with the lave. So therefore, that's another din of erva. So there's gilei erva, einav rosa erva, and libo rosa erva. Din of gilei erva and einav rosa erva is a din d'oraisa. Libo rosa erva b'pashtus is a din d'rabbanan. The din of libo rosa erva, unlike the other two dinim, is also a machlokes ha amoraim in brachas chaf dalet chaf hey, whether we paskin that there is a din of libo rosa erva at all. And if you read the Shach and the Taz over here carefully, you get the impression that some of the Achrayim are even paskening that there's no such thing as libo rosa erva. We'll talk about that in a few moments. The third difference between libo rosa erva and the other dinim is the Archos Chaim paskins, and the Beis Yosef quotes this in Simen Ayin Dalet, and it's in Shulchan Aruch Ayin Dalet Seif Dalet, that by Noshim, since the Erva is Lamata, the Erva is very far underneath, so it's not really opposite the lave, and as such, for women, there's no din of Libo Ro'e Esa Erva, according to the Archos Chaim. The question is, how do these dinim play a role in what we're learning over here, where both the Mechaber and the Ramah say that you should cover yourself? Now, I should point out that the minhag that we have today is nitvila mechaber and nitvila ramah. Our women recite a bracha, and they don't throw them a gown to put on when they're in the mikvah, no? They make the bracha when they're in the mikvah, when they are undressed. There is a minhag of some women that they are thrown something and they put on top of their head when they make a bracha, no? I have no real idea where that comes from. Did you ever look into that?
Once they're married, so
once they're married, they don't make brachas begilon harosh. But where does that come from, also?
It's a specific heter by Vasulis. So I'm wondering why should married women be less machmir than men?
Than men, okay, maybe yes. I mean, my wife always found this very strange. That like when you're in the mikvah, they throw you something and you cover your hair, right? And the rest of your body is uncovered, but your hair is covered.
Do they really do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what my wife told me. Again, I've never been there. But that's kashamati. So now, our minhag is that women make the bracha when they are completely undressed. Women are, though, told to be chovek bizrosehen, to like hug themselves when they make the bracha. And the Drisha really doesn't understand any of this. The Drisha says, what's going on? Why do they make the bracha and they're chovek zoyesein? It doesn't really help. Ramaisa, there's a problem of gili erva, zach the Drisha. And the issue of gili erva, you see from the Drisha, is not a fundamental problem. It sounds like the Drisha is not assuming that gili erva is a din d'oraisa. The Drisha is assuming that gili erva is just a lack of kavod hashchina. And he asks, well, how does covering the arms help if it's a problem of kavod hashchina? If there's a real issue of gili erva, right, and gili erva for the Drisha is a problem only of kavod hashchina, so how does covering the arms help at all? The Taz says about the Drisha, first of all, the problem is more fundamental than kavod hashchina. The problem is a din d'oraisa of gili erva. Then, right, the Taz says, you know what, really, you don't have to cover your arms at all. That's really not necessary. And that's because, although there is a din d'oraisa of gili erva, zok the Taz, once the erva is mechusa, even if it's mechusa with clear water, that's not gili erva. Gili erva means that erva is completely uncovered. But erva underwater is not gili erva. This is almost like the humorous discussion in Hochos Pitzias HaPas as to whether you can cover the challahs with a clear challah cover. Right? Is it considered covered or is it not considered covered? Either tal. The tal covered the mun, right? That's the source. The tal is presumably clear. That's what tal looks like. And the tal is over here, paskins, that water counts as a kisui. Josh?
Doesn't Mar say that there is still an erva when it's through hospitalary?
That what?
There's still a problem of erva when it's seen through glass.
So the Gemara says that there's an issue of ein of roya'isa erva when it's seen through glass, right? Erva ba'ashoshes. That's if I'm looking at it. If I'm not looking at my erva, there might still be the Nebgili erva if it's mamish exposed, but zok the Taz, when it's underwater, that's not called mamish exposed. I shouldn't look at the erva. And in the Taz writes, you should be mahapach panov. It's in the Taz also. Now, what the Taz is basically saying is, out the din of Gili erva, there's no problem because the erva is mechusa with the mayim. Out the din of ein of roas erva, look elsewhere. Out the din of libo roas erva, we pass in like the Archos Chaim, and we don't hold that there's a din of libo roas erva by women because the erva is lamata, and therefore you can make the bracha when you're in the mikvah, when you are completely undressed, and it's not a problem kihuza. That's what the Taz says. The Rav for the Nosa Hikainas, you should hug yourself. You can hug yourself. Why not? To accomplish a hefsek between the lave and the erva, but it's not really necessary. And the Shach here agrees with the Taz, and the Goin agrees with it also. So they all agree that there is no problem of libo. There's no problem of gili erva when it is in water. The Taz writes that one would argue that maybe hugging yourself is not such a great Eitzah. Maybe I have a better Eitzah, or as good of an Eitzah, that have the erva underneath the waterline and have the top of her body above the waterline. But the Taz says he doesn't think that's a proper way to make brachas. It's not sneistic if the top of your body is exposed. For some reason, that part of the Taz, that when the top of your body is out of the water, it's not proper to make brachas, that part of the Taz is not quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Ayin Daled. When the Mishnah Berurah quotes all of our dinim, he does not quote that part. As Rabbi Rosenzweig once told me when I was in the Kollel, he said, yeah, you should learn Mishnah Berurah, but you have to focus on which of the classic Achronim the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote. And in this case, the fact that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Taz and leaving out that Nekuda from the Taz, you get an impression that he doesn't hold that way. Again, there might be many Nafka Minas for that, but that din is just not found in the Mishnah Berurah. That was our Ha'ara. You had a Ha'ara, Mordechai?
I was wondering, even if she's further immersed underwater, why isn't the water between considered a tefsit between the lewis and the erva?
But again, if the water is between the lave and the erva,
then there's continuous water, it's immediately against your body.
So I think we assume that if you're all in the same location, that's still called libo rosa erva. In fact, the Taz points out that there's a shtickle stira in the mechaber here, no? There are two rishonim. There is the ra'ivid who says, if it's mayim tzlulin, you should be ochrosan beragleha, you should dirty up the water. And then there's the rush who says that you can make the bracha when you're wearing your bathrobe. Now, the bathrobe that they had did not have a belt. That means that the rush who says that you're making a bracha wearing your bathrobe, what the Rosh is saying is that there's no problem of libo roesa erva by women, the same as the Archos Chaim says there's no din of libo roesa erva by women. If that's the case, there's no din of libo roesa erva by women, so he tainas, well, what's the reason for the Ravid? Why does the Ravid say Shetakar Baragleha, why are you dirtying up the water with your feet? Why are you making it dirty? Apparently when you make it dirty, then there's no Barosa Erva, because unlike clear water where you could see, it's in the same thing. If it's mamish dirty, that's like similar to what you were saying, then it's not Libarosa Erva. That's the way the Taz understood in Sifkat and Aleph. Well, I thought we quote the Rush that you don't need, that there's no problem of Libarosa Erva by Noshim. So the Taz is bothered by this Stira. If you hold like the Rush, you shouldn't quote the Ravi. You hold like the Ravi, you shouldn't quote the Rush. Right? These two ideas seem to be Soser one another. Now, I'm not sure why he's assuming within the Ravid that Takar Baregla accomplishes that it's not Libarosa Erva. I would have said the Pashtus is that Takar Baregla accomplishes that it's not Gilo Erva. But nonetheless, the Taz says this, and therefore the Taz has a kasha. Let's learn the Barry.
Why does he assume that when she has her shirt on, that that's not the separation? Maybe she takes the whole space, roughly takes everything off. It's only the last part she's taking off?
Again, I think after she makes the bracha, she takes the. There's just like a big tunic, a big bathrobe. So there's nothing. There's no hefsek between the lave and the erva.
It's supposed to be. This is a special thing she's wearing before. It's not necessarily the regular.
It sounds like she's already Peshetas Malbusha. She took off her Malbusha. I mean, she's wearing some sort of chaluk. Now, exactly what their garments look like, I don't know. Now, Rama writes that when you're in the water, they should throw the. When you're in the water, they should throw the chaluk at you, and then you'll make the bracha, no? Now, why is the Rama saying this? The Rama cannot be saying that throwing the chaluk is accomplishing that there is no din of libo roas ha'erva, because in Simen Ayin Dalet, the Rama also paskins beferish that we vote for women, there's no din of libo roas ha'erva. Elamai, the Rama says that you have to throw her the shirt, because if not for throwing the shirt, there would be a din of Gilo Yerva. Right? But one second. But the Taz told us, and the Shach told us, and the Gra told us, that there's no such thing as Gilo Yerva when it's Mechusa, even if it's Mechusa with Mayim Tzalulam. Even if it's a Kisui of clear water, there's no such thing as Gilo Yerva. So apparently the Ramah is arguing on the Shach, Taz, and Gra, no? This is the Ha'ara I had last time I learned Nida, which I thought was a very good Ha'ara. Think about it. Shach Taz and Gras say that there's no such thing as Gilui Erva when you are covered. Even if you're covered by a transparent challah cover, no Gilui Erva. But the Ramah says that you're in the water, they should throw the shirt to you, and then you'll make the bracha. And why are they throwing the shirt to you for the Ramah? Again, we don't do this. But the meaning of the Ramah, that they throw the shirt, what are they doing that for? Presumably that's to solve a problem of Gilui Erva, no? Because it can't be to solve a problem of Libo Rosa Erva, because Ramon Simon Ayin Dalet Paskins Befeirish. This is a point that Yaakov Grun made to me when we learned Nida last time. You guys know Yaakov Grun, fine fellow called Oyon, great guy. Right? So he made this Ha'ara that the Ramah Paskins Befeirish and Ora Chaim, that there is no din of Libo Rosa Erva by Noshim. So I thought this was a good kasha, but look in the Badei HaShulchan, Sifkot and Yud Beis. The Badei HaShulchan explains that what the Ramon means is that the woman is on her way up out of the mikvah. Enochanami, there is no din of Gilui Erva when the Erva is underwater. It's called Mechusa, even if it's transparent. But the case in the Ramah is, as Difroi, Zigeit Arois von Vasser. Right? She's leaving the water already. Oh, so then once she's already out, leaving the water, it could be that the Erva is going to be out of the water. And then in order to make a bracha, I have to throw her the chaluk. She has to put on the chaluk in order to make the bracha. That would be the minag of the Ramah, the way the Badei HaShulchan explains it. And again, it could be that that's the pshat. So these, yeah.
Is the
Ramah
talking about a problem of Enov Roas Erva?
So we're solving Enov Rosa Erva because you're looking somewhere else. You're not looking at the Erva.
She's not going to always remember to look elsewhere. She's going into the mikvah.
I don't know.
Maybe for the mikvah attendants.
But for the mikvah attendants to not see her Erva?
If she's making a bracha, then probably the mikvah attendants
to see her Erva? I don't think so. The person who makes the bracha has a din of Enov Rosa Erva. I mean, some of the posts can discuss why about a case, our mikvahs do not operate like this, that there are many naked women around the mikvah. Right? And you're looking, so don't look at anyone. But I think generally, this entire siman, we're ignoring Enov Rosa Erva because you are looking elsewhere. So again, these are some of the dinim. The dinim and Arachayim are complicated, no? These dinim of Libra Se'erva, Eina Se'erva, Gila Erva, these are not Pasha dinim. Okay, I thank you for listening. We should have a Freilach and Purim. And try to Chazer, because there's a Bechina coming up.